closer, closer than I've ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I've ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer than I ever can.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted. But that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer, closer than I ever been. Closer, closer, closer than I ever been. I just know we're getting closer, 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 closer. I just know we're getting closer, closer, closer.
That's right, we are getting closer, and we are back for another BYGP Locker Room Show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and I am excited, you guys, for those that have been wondering where we've been the last few weeks. Unfortunately, I've suffered an Achilles, torn Achilles, and had to have surgery, so we had to get away from the locker room for a little while, but we are back. The season has kicked off. We are ready to go. And we have another amazing show tonight with a great guest that is willing and ready to share his story. The gentleman that is currently on the line is Nick Burley. He had an amazing career in Northern California at a St. Francis High School, went off to Fresno State in the Mountain West Conference. But when he was playing, was in the Western Athletic Conference, had a great career. All-league performer, all-conference performer at Fresno State, and then even had an NFL opportunity with the St. Louis Rams. So I think we already have Nick on the line. Can you hear us tonight, Nick?
Yes, I can. I appreciate this opportunity, too, and I'm ready to go, willing, ready for the listeners to be open and experience this story.
Perfect, perfect, man. So for the listeners that don't know you, I know I said you're from Northern California and obviously went off to Fresno State. When did you start realizing that football was going to be your way out, was going to be your ticket for success?
Growing up, I had a couple uncles that really played a real instrumental part of my life as far as playing sports. I started off actually playing baseball and didn't pick up really football until I started switching schools. I moved around a lot, and my uncles, we would play football in the street. I played Pop Warner for the Batavia Warriors, and I began to like it, and I went to St. Francis High School, which allowed me to continue to pursue a career in football. And once I began in high school, meeting friends and just talking to coaches and learning the aspect of what football really entails, I started to like it more, and not really knowing what it took to get to college. You know, you have these aspirations and see individuals on TV playing, but you really don't know what it takes to get there. And so you had people saying, okay, you have the size, yeah, but you really didn't know what else it took. And so we just went out there and played football, you know, and so it was just the enjoyment of it. And by my junior year in high school, I really felt that, you know, I had the ability to play at the next level. And, you know, throughout the hard work and help from my other friends and teammates and coaches, you know, it allowed me to continue my career at Fresno.
Definitely. And what was it about Fresno that made you say, this is the place where I want to spend the next 4 to 5 years of my life?
It was the close proximity. I know San Jose State had recruited me as well. But while I attended Fresno on my recruiting trip, I knew another hometown guy that was from my area, and East Palo Alto. His name is Terrence Brown. and he attended Fresno prior to me, and I had new familiar face up there, so that it made it a lot easier. And my recruiting coach was at the time, Coach Skipper. He was a linebackers coach at that time, and you know he had great success, and he's moved on to different NFL teams, and he had a defensive line coach named Jethro Franklin. And I believe at this time he coaches D-line with the Oakland Raiders, and so we really hit it off well, and I felt that that was a good space for me to grow into the player I became, and it was local, so my parents could come see, you know, so that was another big bonus, about 2.5 hours from the Bay Area to Fresno. They can see me play on Saturday afternoon, Saturday nights, and either stay or go back home. So that was a big bonus.
I'm glad you brought that up, Nick, because as you know, the college season has just kicked off. So a lot of these young men are freshmen and they're new on campus and they're getting used to everything. What's your opinion as far as young men going far away for college and young men that need to stay close?
I would say as far as the athletic standpoint, if you're not heads above individuals in your class as far as athletically, as far as if you're not one of the top 5 to 10 high school guys in your area as far as being recruited, you know, don't go for the name of the school. Don't go, if you're from California, don't go to Florida State because it sounds good and you can tell all your buddies you went to Florida State. Because when you get there, you're going to see individuals who are 2 and 3, 4 star athletes, and you're not even well known in your community, in your local area. You know, I would say for each individual, you know, you have to gauge your talent level and be honest with yourself as far as what you're able to do on the field and compare it against the schools that are in your area. You know, it's okay to go to small schools. And if individuals have the opportunity to go to the bigger schools, you have to realize you may sit 2 to 3 years before you actually play it. And are you willing to do that or go to another school where the team needs you and the coaches can utilize your ability sooner than later? And so you have to put that in perspective when you're trying to choose a school and not just go for the notoriety, but go to a school that's going to be beneficial for your growth on the field and off the field, because you're still learning to be a young man once you leave your parents' house, and college is filled with so many temptations. And the further you are away from your family, the easier it is for you to get distracted, as opposed to if you're closer, that way they can come down and see you if you're going through certain issues or if you're having home withdrawals. Because I remember when I first left, I was nervous because I'd never been away for that long of a time from my hometown. And so that kind of plays along with individuals, you know, wanting to transfer and not really fitting in with the school that they choose.
Great point right there, Nick. And you mentioned the temptation that a lot of these young men face when they go off to college. Whether they're far away or close to home, it just comes with college, and there's a lot of adjustment there. What advice would you give to a young man that's maybe trying to limit falling into a temptation trap?
I would say have a plan of action, you know, prior to you graduating high school and entering college. Have a plan as far as what you're willing to do, whether it's academically, how many hours you're going to study for each test, for each class. If you're pursuing a career in athletics, how much time are you going to put into it? Because you have to understand that they're called student athletes, but in all actuality, you play sports more than you go to school. You're there to play sports. They gave you a scholarship to go to play sports. So you're going to spend more time on your crafts, and so you have to be able to find time to balance that along with school. And so you have to put into perspective what's important in your life and what you can do to navigate that aspect. And get with people who have shown success. Get with school counselors, get with coaches, and get with parents and let them know, okay, this is what I'm trying to do, this is where I'm trying to go. I have no clue can you kind of show me through your experiences and try to help me along the way so I can have a successful path? And it's not going to be successful all the time. You're going to have some setbacks, and you have to just use those setbacks as motivation and learning tools to prosper you into something better.
Now, Nick, I was extremely excited and honored to do this show, as you know, because we work with student athletes, young men that are where they want to go, where you were and where you've already been. And I just love your perspective so many times that we've brought you on before. But you confided in me about having an alcohol issue and having to battle that and overcome that. That's something that many athletes have, and I'm humbled and once again honored that you would share that story with us. For you, when did you start drinking alcohol?
My name is Nick. I'm an alcoholic. I've started drinking, when I was about 12 years old. I remember going to my uncle's house or relative's house, and people were asleep. They had beers in the refrigerator, and, you know, they had been probably asleep from drinking and partying or barbecuing after a long work week. And I would say, hey, you know what? It's one in there. Let me go take it. And they would never know. So you have a little drink of beer. It was pretty disgusting at that time. At 12 years old, you thought you were cool, and you throw it away in the garbage can, and the next day you go to school and tell your friends, hey, you know, I had a drink of beer, you know. They never know, and you was a cool person. And, you know, that's when I started my alcohol consumption. And, you know, as of today, you know, that is my continual struggle as it progressed throughout the years.
Now, obviously, football, as you know, has a certain culture to it. It's definitely a boys club and a fraternity. Do you think that the football fraternity or the football industry promotes or encourages young athletes to drink?
I don't necessarily say it promotes it. I just feel that it doesn't do a due justice as far as acknowledging that it does exist and how it affects the individuals that take part in it. I mean, because you have to think, being an athlete, you're putting your body through stress, whether it's waking up in the morning, whether it's leaving your family on a daily basis to get perfection at that particular sport that you play, and you utilize all the hours throughout the day to maintain your body, mental status, to perform when you're called to perform. And then once you're done performing, whether it's a Friday night, Saturday night, or a Sunday night, done playing in the NFL, there's a release. You need a release of all that emotion and anger and frustration that you had throughout the week, and now that you're finally relaxed, you're going to go home. Some guys utilize marijuana as a release. Some guys were hurt as far as injuries. Some guys utilize pain pills. Some use alcohol. In my case, I use alcohol. And so all these things are substance abuse. Whether you want to look at it as, you know, we're just, you know, releasing stress or having a good time after the game. And, you know, you don't realize what really dysfunction looks like, because we're so used to making dysfunctional look normal. And the constant drinking or using to cope with things that are inside, whether it's be mentally hurt or physically hurt, those are things that aren't really discussed in a locker room on a consistent basis with truth behind it.
Wow, great feedback right there, Nick, and definitely appreciate you sharing that. As far as your own personal story, what were the signs on the wall for you, or when did you start to notice that you needed help?
I believe the signs on the wall for me were minor steps, because eventually, like I said earlier, you grew up and going to parties, barbecues, birthdays. It was nothing to have drinks around, having Patron shots, going to the liquor store, getting alcohol when you really weren't of age. And so you thought that was a normal thing to do. And so it started off early. You know, I had shots of, you know, whatever alcohol that there was throughout my years. And it increased as I attended college. And utilizing my time well was, you know, me going to football practice and playing in the games. But after, I would have drinks with some of the guys. And, you know, it slowly progressed from there. And it really was an issue at that time because I had something else motivating me, which is playing sports and hanging out. So that spent most majority of my time, and I had to go to school as well. And so abusing alcohol didn't really take effect until after I stopped playing. And I had to find out what was next for Nick after football. Because once the whistle stopped blowing, you hang up the cleats, or you stop playing basketball, you hang up the shoes or baseball, or whatever the avenue that you chose, you have to have something else besides that, because it doesn't last that long. And, you know, you start to think to yourself, like, hey, I'm only going to drink on the weekend. And, you know, the weekend gets here, and you only drink on Fridays, and you don't feel too much. And so, you know, say, how about Saturday? Okay, I'll drink Friday and Saturday. And so you start to rationalize with yourself as if, you know, you're doing the right thing. And in all reality, you're not. And so now, I believe it was September 6th. The writing on the wall for me was, you know, I haven't had any DUIs. I haven't been arrested for alcohol abuse. But you get tired of living this double life of hiding something that has been an issue for quite some time. And I've had instances in Vegas where, I miss my son's basketball games. And when you look back at it, you know, you laugh because it, you know, it's funny, but it's sad in a way because, you know, at that time, those were signs that I overlooked and thought that, you know what, I can handle that. You know, that was only a one-time incident, so it's not a real factor because it only happened one time. And throughout the day, I can go to work and come home, pay bills, and continue to be a parent, and I'm okay with drinking on the weekend. But as you go on throughout your abuse of a substance, it's almost as if like you're lifting weights. You get stronger doing reps. One week you do a set of 10, then you start feeling good. You're like, you know what, I can do 20. So the next week you start doing 20 reps, and you start to build that muscle memory, gaining muscle. And with alcohol consumption, it's the same way. It starts off minor. You start to build that tolerance, and your body begins to need it on a daily basis to get through. I had bad withdrawals, so I decided to really focus on stop drinking. I had a good stint for 66 days, which was good. I had some help prior to that because I went to a rehab facility to get help. Because of my bad withdrawals, I would wake up in the morning with real pain, heavy sweating, and you would try to hide that throughout your day of work. And throughout the day, you know, you would have pain. I would have pain in my body, numbness in my arms, and, you know, I would shake profusely because, you know, of the alcohol consumption and what it does to your body after not being in your system for so long. And the only thing you can do is, okay, when am I going to get the next fix? And I say all this because it's a real issue that with athletes, not just with alcohol consumption, but with just substance abuse in general, and how we deal with a lot of built-up frustrations and life stories that we don't really have an avenue to discuss these things because people only see us as entertaining you on the weekend and not realizing that you are a normal person and that you go through struggles in life and utilize whatever advice that you need to get over those situations. But it was hard really coming to grips, because the day that I went to the hospital, my mom found me on the floor in her room, in the room I was staying with my parents at the time, and my blood pressure was like 200 over 195, and I was really in a bad state. And you know, I was fortunate enough to have that person there to help me, because I'm not really sure where it would have gone. And you know, through the grace of God, nothing happened that I wrecked my car. Like you said, I had a DUI, but you know, I was just tired of like you said, living that double life. Because if you look in the mirror, you know, if you look long enough, that mirror talks back, and you start to look back at some of the things that you missed out on, or the friendships that you messed up because of your alcohol abuse, and how it started to slowly trickle down. And for some people, they have to hit rock bottom, and my rock bottom was missing my kids' games and spending money that I didn't have to buy alcohol and not provide, you know, for my kids on some of the things that they need. And, you know, it's embarrassing, you know, but, you know, I'm excited about this journey that I'm on. And, you know, it gives me opportunity to discuss my struggles with substance abuse, and throughout this process of getting help, you know, possibly I can to share my story on this platform. And if other individuals are out there seeking information or don't know where to go to find information, you know, there's valuable tools out there. And, you know, I've been there and I'm still there. Today is day 4 of being clean and sober, and so I'm excited about that. And, you know, the journey's just begun.
Wow, man. Powerful, powerful testimony right there. And once again, we are just honored that you would share this information with us. And for you young athletes listening, you know, Nick is somebody that has excelled at the college level. He had a pro shot with the St. Louis Rams. He's played in front of thousands of fans and made big plays. So and he's a big dude. So, you know, this is a man's man telling you that it's okay to be a little vulnerable. It's okay to ask for help, and it's okay to move forward, and just don't think that you're all alone with this thing. So great, great commentary right there, Nick, and we really appreciate it. For those that are just joining us, I'm Coach Terrence Wood, and we have Mr. Nick Burley, former Fresno State star, St. Louis Ram, with us on the line talking about his alcohol abuse and just being very honest and candid with us. We have roughly, let's see, about 8 to 10 minutes here, Nick. If I'm a player, student athlete that feels like I might have an alcohol or substance abuse problem, or I have a teammate that might have a problem, what's the best step to take as far as moving forward?
I would say that being an addict of abuse, I would say if a teammate had come to me and expressed their concern, or I've seen signs that a teammate has concern, I would approach them. And just as a person of interest, a person of comfort, not of accusation and accusing, allow them to be open and to discuss, you know, what's going on with them at that particular time, and why do they feel that they need to use at that time to cope with whatever issues that they're going through, and just be a listening ear, because becoming an alcoholic or a drug abuser didn't happen overnight. It takes years to develop, and even acknowledging that you have an issue. And so when you notice somebody is an alcoholic or a drug abuser, this isn't the first time that they use. You just seen it, or just wanting to, or willing to accept that you are even acknowledging it. And so just knowing that they have come from so far, and for them to be willing to open up to you is a big step, because, you know, it's a stigma, and you know, you have this shame and fear of being judged, of not being able to be a normal individual and not have this issue that you have a dependency problem that you have to rely on. And so the person that had come to me, I would say, you know, I would sit them down and just explain that I'm here for them, or that okay, I understand that you're going through a certain issue. Is there anything that I can do to be of assistance? And because you can assist them, or you can assist them to further their addiction. And you don't want to do that. You want to assist them to seeking help. And there's all avenues of getting help. And they have to be willing to accept help at that time, because not everyone thinks that they have a problem. And so it's kind of, at some instances, it's kind of hard to allow the person to say, hey, you know what, I have an issue. And until that person is willing to say, I have an issue, you can only be there to give advice, because if you don't acknowledge you have an issue, you're not going to be willing to take that next step. And so many compliance officers have pamphlets, but like you said, if the issue isn't brought up, they're not going to be discussed. You know what I mean? So it's kind of as if like somebody had already would have had to go through this in order to see that the signs of individuals that need help, because it's a snap game, whether it's on the field or in the off field. You know, nothing's really discussed as far as what's acceptable until someone is in the newspaper fighting or hitting a DUI. Then there's discussion about it. But prior to that, there's really nothing said that can benefit the players of understanding, you know, which steps to take and which steps, you know, not to take. And I wish that there were more information that is presented to the kids up front, well, I'll say kids, but young adults up front, that they can have speakers come in and say, hey, these are some of the things that you're going to have to deal with, not maybe on a personal level, but one of your teammates is going to deal with this, or one of your teammates had family members that deal with this. And alcoholism not only affects the person who abused, but the individuals who they grew up with. So I'm entering college. I may not be an alcoholic yet, but my dad was. And so by me seeing my dad drink, now that I'm available, no one's there, I can drink now. And me not knowing that I'm inherited a disease, it will continue to fester unless it's brought to my attention of ways to cope with it and understand the steps that you need to take to continue to get better.
Do you know what the ratio is for men or football players as far as guys who have alcohol problems?
I would say, I don't know the exact ratio because I haven't really did a study on that, but I know from my own experience, a lot of individuals who play sports drink, whether it's wine, beer, or where they consume a lot of alcohol. And so it's rampant, and whether you see this person on the weekend drinking a couple of drinks at the bar, you guys go home, because no one really knows what goes on once you guys leave the locker room or you leave the bar scene. You know, they can have a couple of drinks at the bar and everybody's laughing and having fun, but when you go home, that's a totally different story. You know, people are still healing from the work week, healing from the what they have to deal with outside of their individual sport, whether it's family life or just dealing with life in general. You know, things can happen throughout the day. And in my case, things happen throughout the day. And, you know, I tried to find a reason to drink. But then after a while, I didn't need a reason to drink. I mean, my body needed it so much to continue to function. You know, I had to drink on a daily basis to cut those cravings out.
What's the line for the young student athlete? Because as you've already stated, they're going to be around it, whether it's at a party or maybe an alumni function or donor function, they're going to see alcohol around. So if I'm a high school, junior, college player, if I'm a college player, where should I draw that line? Is that line different depending on the individual? What's your opinion on that?
I would say being growing up in an alcoholic family, I would say to anybody, if you're thinking about drinking, there's some people who can have a couple drinks, and that's okay. You know, they can go home and function, but myself, I can't. I can have one bottle, and then, you know, I feel like when I go home, I have to go get another bottle. So there's no stop for me. It's either don't drink or drink too much and hurt yourself and hurt your family members. And so I would say, you know, for any substance, I would say there's going to be some dysfunction within your body system. And from the experience that I have, I would say don't do it. And it's hard to say that because I was that person who used to abuse and still am an abuser, because you don't want to see the individuals go through things that you went through. It's like your parents say, hey, don't touch that stove, it's hot. Well, you know what, I'm going to go touch that stove because I'm not really sure it's hot yet until I touch it. And then the more you touch it, you know, you start to get a tolerance for that, and it's not as painful as it was before. And so you start to pick up more and more habits that you make excuses for as normal living. But for young athletes, I would say in order to have a prolonged career with better health, better insight, to be able to make better decisions to better yourself, I would say to not use substances.
Okay, and just a couple more questions here, and we'll let you go, Nick. Thank you so much for your time. If I'm an athlete and, you know, I'm thinking about, I'm hearing about an AA group, what is an AA group for those that don't know, and how has that benefited you?
An AA group is called Alcoholic Anonymous, and it's a group of individuals, men, women, from all different ages that get together on a daily basis, given the different times and locations. And you have individuals who are first time, and you have individuals who have some time in recovery, whether it's 30 years. And so it differentiates between substances as well. You have your NA groups, which is Narcotic Anonymous, and you have your AA, which is Alcoholic Anonymous. And there's this app that is free. It's called Meeting Guide. It's a little blue chair, and it's kind of like navigation. You put it on your phone, you download it, and depending on what city that you're in, it tells you the different AA groups or NA groups within that vicinity as far as the time frame, a 10-mile radius. And so I found that app very useful because I obviously work in Marin, and I travel throughout the Bay Area. And so if it's 5 o'clock, I can pull up this app and say, hey, you know what? If they have a meeting in Berkeley within 30 minutes, I can go. And in this group, you discuss issues within your recovery, and you hear people's stories, and you hear how it has affected them and their family, and you can see God move in them. Because I related to going to church, and you can go to church and experience God and get saved, but you really don't see Him work unless He works in your life on that basis. But going to these AA rooms and NA rooms, you see God outside of the church. You see Him connecting with individuals who are normal, who are working, who are struggling with life, who are struggling with circumstances, who are struggling with substance abuse, and you can see the transformation within them, the ones who have been clean for 30 years, the ones who have restored their self-worth, who restored friendships that have been broken, who have been strong homes that have been broken, who have restored lives within their children. And you can see the development, and it's a daily process. And once you're in these rooms, so the meeting only lasts an hour, and you have to really put in the work as far as discussing, because there are different topics throughout each meeting, and you have to really self-examine yourself in those rooms. And once you leave, take what you learn from those rooms and incorporate it in your daily life, because it's a daily journey, it's a daily struggle, and I'm a living proof that anything is possible. I went from the hospital to I'm 4 days clean now, and, you know, I'm looking forward to continued success and just thanking you for allowing me to have this platform to share my story so individuals can hear who are struggling, because at times people feel that it is a stigma, because you don't want to really let anybody know that you're struggling with anything. We have this sense of pride that, you know, we could make it on our own, but in all actuality, people are hurting, and they need that voice to be heard, and at times you don't know how to take that next step or who to lend that person that can have an ear so that you can speak to them about what's going on in your life. And I'm a blessing that Alcohol Anonymous in these rooms and utilizing the meeting guide and just sharing my story to help others while I help myself.
Wow, Nick, truly heartfelt commentary and just testimony right there. And really tip my cap to you, man, for being so open and honest. Last question that I wanted to ask you before we let you go here, and once again, we appreciate your time in the BYGP locker room. But the last question that I wanted to ask you is, if you could go back, and obviously everything you've gone through with the hospital and the AA groups and some of your downfalls from alcohol, if you could go back to that moment when you're 12 years old and you were thinking about picking up that bottle, you know, there's somebody that's in your shoes right now where you were back then. What would the Nick today, 30-year-old man, 30-plus-year-old man, tell the 12-year-old Nick that's thinking about picking up that bottle?
I would tell that young individual from an adult's perspective, my biological father, I had issues with substance abuse as well, and he ended up killing himself because of substance abuse. And it's a disease in which I inherited and didn't realize and recognize until later on in life that it does affect me, and it has affected my life up until now. And that young individual who is so young still, still trying to find themselves and still trying to understand what it is to be a young adolescent, what it is like to try to fit in, what it's like to try to be a normal kid and believe that if you grow up in an environment that promotes or listen to music that promotes alcohol abuse, drug abuse, you think that becomes a normalcy, in all actuality, it's not. It's a dysfunctional a lifestyle that we have been incorporated to, as far as in our community, the African American community. I would say to that individual, you know, don't take that, because this initial drink is a stepping stone into possibly future disaster. And I say that because for some individuals, that one drink can lead them into the grave later on in life. And it's just me talking and looking forward, because I know where I'm at right now, and I know how I got there. And it was because I continued to drink, and I continued to make excuses for why I did this, why I did that, or, you know, I let my circumstances dictate, you know, how I reacted to them. And substance abuse is a good blocker. It's a good liar to you. It allows you to forget. It numbs the pain, in which the pain will still be there once the drunkenness or the highness goes away. And you still have to be able to live life on life's terms. And as a young man growing up, you know, learn how to work through circumstances and not be able to pick up the bottle, not be able to take those pills, not be able to smoke those cigarettes or smoke the weed. Understand that there's different avenues to work through your issues, and understand that everyone struggles with something, and it's okay to struggle. It's okay for people to see your struggle, because no one is perfect, and God only knows the steps. And I believe that God only puts things in your life because he knows that you can handle it. And me being an alcoholic, for some reason, he's put that upon me, and he's going to utilize me, possibly help someone else who's dealing with the same issue or whose family members dealing with the same issue, and if they can hear my story and hear my struggle and see my struggle, that possibly that they can get over this hump and we can continue this road to sober living.
Wow, man, powerful, powerful stuff right there. And I just thank you so much, brother, for being able to come on tonight and share. I didn't know that it was so fresh that you've been sober, so that makes it even more powerful. So thank you so much, Nick, for coming on and sharing with our audience tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. Before you go pro, and for all the individuals that are listening, you know, it is a daily struggle, and I appreciate your ear, and continue to follow me on my progression and staying sober.
There you go. So, hey, that is Mr. Nick Burley, dear friend, but a stand-up guy, super, super football player, you guys. We're talking about somebody that you would have never known had an alcohol issue. He was an all-conference performer at Fresno State, went on, had the NFL opportunity. But as he said, you know, sometimes people have problems lying beneath the surface. And that's okay, because everybody has problems. If somebody's telling you they don't have any problems, then get away from that person, because they're not connected with reality. We all have problems. But for him, being man enough to get the help, being man enough to share his story with you is tremendous. So that's why we wanted to have this show tonight. That is what Before You Go Pro is all about, is getting together in brotherhood and figuring this thing out. You know, we want to figure this thing out so you can be the best student athlete you can be, the best professional athlete you can be, and the best business athlete you can be. That's what we're all about. So hopefully you guys got something out of tonight's show. I know you did. Please share it with everybody you can. That show tonight spans past athletics. You know, it just hits the nail on the head as far as having a great life. You want people to have a great life, they can't do it with substance abuse. So please share tonight's show. We went a little bit over, but as you can see, it was definitely worth it. So hopefully you got some out of tonight's show. I am your host, Coach Terrence Wood, and we will be back next week with another phenomenal guest. And we are signing off for BYGP and the rest of the BYGP family. We will definitely see you at the top. Have a good one.
Yeah, I used to dream about showing the world what I dream about. To get a mic my whole life, I thought it'd be the mouth. I guess it's fitting how life threw me the curveball. Pops told me work till you make it, man, then work more. I guess I took that to heart, cause I've been working harder now than I did at the start. And I won't stop till I get to the top, till I can give all of my fam all the things that they want. But there ain't no doubt I continue to be the doubted, but that's just motivating, so where would I be without it? Cause the same people asking why you're doing it will ask you how you did it. So fuck the credit, stay committed to your vision. They can't see it, it's yours. The top floor looks far where you can't get in the doors. But it's crazy what you can see with your eyes closed. That's why I stay in my grind mode. I know I'm getting closer,
closer, closer than I ever did. Closer, closer, closer than I ever did. I just know we're getting closer.